Hello and welcome to your GCSE Geography Revision podcast. I'm so glad you're here because today we're diving into one of the most relevant and exam important topics in the whole specification, the management and sustainable use of energy resources. Whether you're revising for your mocks or the real thing, this episode is going to give you everything you need to nail those exam questions. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's get started. So, first things first, what do we actually mean by sustainable energy management? Sustainability means meeting the needs of people today without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. That's the classic Brundtland definition from 1987, and examiners absolutely love it when candidates use it. When we apply this to energy, we're asking, how do we manage our energy resources, both renewable and non-renewable, in a way that doesn't leave the planet in a worse state for the people who come after us? Now, here's something really important that trips up a lot of students. The question isn't just about renewable versus non-renewable energy. It's about management. Even renewable energy needs to be managed sustainably. A wind farm built in the wrong place can damage ecosystems. A hydroelectric dam can displace thousands of people. So always, always keep the word sustainable at the heart of your answer. Let's talk about spatial scales, because this is another area where candidates lose marks. The specification says energy management happens at a range of spatial scales, from local to international. Think of it like a pyramid. At the bottom, the local scale, you have individual households fitting solar panels, communities setting up wind cooperatives, local councils insulating social housing. Moving up, at the national scale, you have government energy policy, carbon targets, investment in national grid infrastructure. Then, at the regional scale, you have trading blocs like the European Union setting shared renewable energy targets. And at the very top, the international scale, you have global agreements like the Paris Agreement of 2015, where 196 countries committed to limiting global warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels. A brilliant example at the local scale is Ashton Hayes in Cheshire, which became England's first community aiming for carbon neutrality. Residents voluntarily reduced their carbon footprint by 30% in just a few years. That's a powerful local scale example to drop into an exam answer. Now, let's get into stakeholders, because this is where the topic gets really interesting. Different groups have very different views on how energy should be managed, and examiners want you to understand why those views conflict. Individuals, that's ordinary people like you and me, are primarily concerned with energy bills and reliability of supply. Most people want cheap, consistent energy. They might support renewable energy in principle, but if it pushes up their electricity bills, they'll push back. However, many individuals are also concerned about climate change and are willing to make lifestyle changes, like installing solar panels, switching to electric vehicles, or improving home insulation. Organisations are more complex. Energy companies have historically profited enormously from fossil fuels. They have shareholders to satisfy and billions of pounds invested in oil and gas infrastructure. So their view on transitioning to renewables is often cautious, even if they publicly support sustainability. On the other hand, NGOs like Greenpeace or Friends of the Earth push hard for rapid decarbonisation. And renewable energy companies obviously want faster transition because it's good for their business. So even within the category of organisations, you have conflicting interests. Governments face perhaps the trickiest balancing act. They need to ensure energy security, meaning a reliable supply of energy for homes and businesses. They need to keep energy affordable, especially for poorer households. They need to meet international climate commitments, and they need to manage the economic impact of transitioning away from fossil fuels, particularly in communities that depend on coal mining or oil extraction for jobs. No wonder energy policy is so politically contentious.